B-Pod Studios.
Adam Schefter joins us right now on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. Good morning, Schefty.
Good morning, Mark, Bob, Philadelphia. How's everybody doing?
Doing well today. It's tough after an Eagles loss Sunday. We watched Jimmy Butler be really good at basketball again last night. Mike D'Antoni supposedly sitting down with the Sixers today, per report. We got a lot going on. But the thing that's really on my mind is that really you singing It's All Coming Back to Me Now in the football commercial?
You know, it's funny you say that because it absolutely is. I can confirm that. And there were so many takes where I had to do it over and over and over and over to get those lines. And, I mean, it's not very hard to go, baby, baby, baby. I mean, how hard is it to do that, right? So I nailed those lines.
Oh, it's beautiful. We are going to have that as a drop, Schefty. Don't you worry.
In all honesty, it's a good commercial. It's like, it's just fun. It's upbeat. It's kind of cool, and Gardner Minshew, I think, steals the show, right?
Yeah, when are you growing the Fu Manchu, my friend, and the long hair?
Yeah, well, I'm capable of growing hair that long, but if I could, I would.
Mommy, we love it, Schefty. Right out of the gate, there's this rumor out there that the Bears are dangling Allen Robinson, or they're not. What are you making of all the news between the Bears and Allen Robinson at this point?
Well, I can tell you this, that he's unhappy. I mean, that's the bottom line. He wants a contract that pays him fair market value. It's not hard to figure out what fair market value is right now, right? We've seen new deals for Keenan Allen and DeAndre Hopkins in recent weeks. Some of the wide receivers have gotten to the $20 million a year threshold. He's not there. I think he's making like $12.5 million. He's in the last year of his contract. He's 27 years old. He's torn an ACL in the past. And I will say this, when you watch that guy play football, he's good at football. He's better at playing football than I am at singing baby, baby, baby. And he wants a new deal before he becomes a free agent, and the talks with the Bears have not gotten to a point where he's comfortable. And so I know that there was a report, speculation, that he and his agent, one of them, requested a trade. You know, in talking to them, that's not the case. They have not requested a trade. Are they happy? No, they're not happy. Could it get to that at some point? Maybe. And listen, you got in Chicago, you got people fighting to keep their jobs. They want to win. They want to know. They don't want an Allen Robinson distraction right now. They want to try to win football games. So they're not looking to do anything either. Mm-hmm. And look, every time somebody's name comes up, that's unhappy. Are we going to, you know, ask about Odell Beckham Jr. being traded next? That's the next question, right? Like, what's going on with him? And so, what's interesting here is that early in the season, they're winning, and they're still talking about it. But Allen Robinson really brought it on, I think, yesterday when he deleted the references to the Bears on his social media accounts.
Mm-hmm. That's how journalism is done.
Right?
Listen, the truth of the matter is, did I know that this was going on between him and the Bears? Yes.
Sure.
He wanted to keep it private. Okay. And he didn't want to say anything. Okay. And then he goes and does that. And I said to him, I said, Allen, once you do that, you know what's going to happen, right? Yeah, I know. Okay. Okay. You know, like.
Yeah. Schefty, you always say, whenever there's somebody available, whether that be Allen Robinson, if he becomes available, if they do seek a trade, whatever, you always say that the Eagles are aggressive and they always at least make the phone call and they're always in. Are they in a situation to still do that now considering their cap situation for next year?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think they are in a little bit of a different spot here because of their previous aggressive moves and because of the money involved. We're in a situation where there is no revenue coming in from fans. You know, people forget, look, the value of the teams is going up. The TV money is going to go up. There's plenty of money to be made. I'm just telling you, there's not plenty of cash available this year for some of these teams. And I don't know exactly where the Eagles stand in that category, but I do believe that money's an issue in moves that they would make. So they are going to be a little bit more reserved, a lot more reserved, I would expect, knowing that the salary cap next year is going to be dropping maybe to $175 million. And when you have a turn of events like this that nobody ever would have predicted or foreseen, then, again, you have to take unusual steps. And I think they're in a position where they can't be the Eagles the way that we're used to seeing the Eagles. And, yes, I do say that they always were going to be aggressive because they are. That's who they are and that's what they do. But this is a little different now, and they can't be that way quite the same their hands are a little tied, as are many teams in the league, by the way. And so, in fact, I've had people comment to me that the free agent market in the offseason will be the best buyer's market that we've seen in a long time.
Shefty, with all of that being said, of everything involving Robinson and the salary cap, all of that, how do you think this Zach Ertz situation plays out? Because some of the ways you labeled the Robinson stuff sounds awfully familiar about unhappiness and it's known.
Well, Zach Ertz has come out and said what he said, right?
But right.
Again, the fact that the two sides have spoken, the Eagles have made him offers for guilt. It just wasn't exactly what Zach Ertz wanted. And so he turned it down, didn't take the offer, and came out and said what he did. Now, he feels like he's not welcome here. They've had many discussions. They have had many discussions over the last week. I think the Eagles feel like they've been fair. Zach Ertz doesn't feel like they've been fair. I think it's like this with players. Zach Ertz has got 2 years left in his contract,
yeah,
right? So why would the Eagles pay him as if he's going to be a free agent right now, or if he is a free agent? They'll do certain things, and I think they have offered him certain things. And they have offered him similar deals to the deals that are out there for the tight ends, but he wants a different deal. And by the way, he's a great, great player, and he deserves whatever he can get. But he's also got 2 years left on his deal, and that's the issue.
Right.
Like, if he's a free agent right now, yeah, the Eagles would be in a different situation. But you got the pandemic, you got decreasing revenue, you got a player on a two years left on his deal. And so they've offered him new contracts. They've offered him new contracts. He does not like what they're offering. But I always say this to players, and I believe this is true. Like I said, I'm all for players getting everything they can at all times, anytime. They deserve it. They put their bodies on the line every single week. And again, I have great respect for what they do. But as a player, if you're a true free agent, you get the best of all worlds. You play to that spot and you deserve to be free and have everyone bidding and get the highest price. But you can't, as a player, expect free agent prices when you've got time left on your contract. You just can't do that usually. And DeAndre Hopkins was a little bit of an anomaly and an exception. But they traded for him, and he had the leverage there, and that was a little bit of a different situation. But when you've got time left in your deal, your leverage is reduced. Just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking with Adam Schefter, ESPN, here on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. Schefter, what do you know about the conversation supposedly had between Zach Ertz and Howie Roseman, where it was reported as a heated or spirited conversation between the two last week?
Again, I was told it didn't happen that way.
Okay.
Not my report. I was told that it didn't happen that way. So that's all I could say.
It was more in a professional kind of manner?
I can't categorize it, but
okay.
I know that there were a lot of people that were not pleased that it was described that way.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Appreciate that. Now, looking at some other things that go on with this football team right now, you mentioned the salary cap for next year most likely going down to $75 million, I believe was the number that you gave, and the Eagles not being as aggressive.
$175 million.
Is a move like Jadeveon Clowney the move that normally the Eagles would be more so in on? Is that a move that they weren't as aggressive simply because of what the numbers would be next year?
That might be the case. I'm trying to recall if they would have even gotten in there in the conversations I had. And I don't remember, but I do remember at one point somebody coming up and being told the Eagles can't do that because of money. So I don't remember the player. I'm trying to think. I mean, that's what you do every day, is you're trying to figure out
right
what certain guys are doing. But the bottom line is, again, when they're making decisions, about what's best for their team and what they can do with the bottom line. I mean, it's just, you're always doing that, but I just believe it's more true than ever before right now.
Shefty, we just went through one of the strangest weekends in NFL.
I know, Yannick Ngakoue would have been the guy.
There
you go.
Okay.
Yeah, Yannick Ngakoue would have been the guy. Yep, that was it.
We just went through one of the strangest weekends in the NFL, being as, you know, no fans and coming back from the pandemic and all that. Did the play surprise you with its with how well it was executed? Mm-hmm. Was it where you expected? And injuries, how did you see that all playing out, Shefty?
A few things. Well, number one, I did think the play was cleaner than you'd expect. Oddly enough, the people that struggled the most were the kickers. And I don't know why that is, but it was the worst opening day for kickers that we've had in about 25 years. There were more missed field goals than ever before. And I don't know if that's preseason or, you know, getting lined up and snapping. That was kind of weird. But the kickers had a rough week one. The players, I thought, played clean football. It's a little bit surreal. And I think people have to remember how difficult it is for these guys to come out there and come out in silence and be able to hear everything and, again, summon up the energy that you need on a play-to-play basis without any noise, with no fans cheering. It's a different deal. I mean, it's totally different. You got to bring your own energy. And it's just a different experience. The injury factor, look, there were injuries. I don't think it was anything that was abnormal about a week one. There's always injuries in week one. Always.
Sure.
And there are injuries in week two. But, I mean, Marlon Mack, unfortunately, got hurt. The Cowboys lost some people. You don't want to see anyone ever lose anybody. And bad. But that happens in football. And I didn't think that the incidence of injury in week one was any higher. It didn't seem to me to be that way.
Speaking with Adam Schefter, the other thing that came out from Doug Peterson the day after the game was DeSean Jackson. And this kind of thing of managing his workload throughout the season. He only played 50% of the snaps for a week one game for a guy that had surgery, what, 5-6 months ago. It seems like an odd thing to do going into a season. Is that a normality in the NFL that maybe I've missed?
No, I think that's completely normal. In fact, I think that you saw coaches handling players more carefully. I mean, they're always careful. Don't get me wrong, but what I'm saying is you didn't see a lot of running backs go out and play 95% of the snaps. You saw people being juggled, shuffled in and out of the lineup the entire day, no matter who they really were. There were very few players that went out and played the overwhelming majority of plays, no matter what position it was. There were not a lot of those guys. And so whether it was DeSean Jackson or another wide receiver, another team, they're going to be careful, especially if the guy had any sort of surgery, especially if the guy's a veteran, especially if it's week one, there was no preseason, especially when there was no offseason program. I mean, you're just going to be smarter about it. That's just the way that it's going to be in week one.
And have you heard anything about Miles Sanders or Lane Johnson? Any insight there as far as their availability this week?
I expect both to be back in lineup this week.
Miles Sanders and Lane Johnson.
Miles Sanders and Lane Johnson, I'd be surprised if they're not out there on Sunday playing. Correct. I think that they'll be playing.
All right. Hey, Shefty, always great catching up with you, man. I really appreciate it. But you know what? We're going to play out. We're going to play out with your song.
Oh, boy.
Because
oh,
here,
boy.
Here it is. Oh, just real big by Lane. Here. There it is, Shefty.
That's, yeah. And by the way, it's one of those songs that when you hear it, it stays in your head. You're going to be singing that all day now.
Oh, don't.
Oh, yeah.
Shefty.
It stays in your head.
When I was singing it, I think I missed the part of the commercial that you were in, and then I saw that you were in it, and I went, oh, this is gold. This is gold, my friend.
Celine Dion's a hit maker, man.
Yeah. It's certainly one of the highlights of my career is trying to do karaoke Celine Dion on TV. It's a great song. She's got a great voice, doesn't she?
Wow. Oh, the voice of an angel. Shefty, I think you finally made it, my friend. This is how you know.
I guess so. It's, I can't win a fantasy basketball championship in recent years, but I can do Celine Dion.
Shefty, you're the best, man. Thanks so much. I appreciate you.
Guys, have a great day. Be well. Stay safe. Enjoy Lane Johnson and Miles Sanders this week.
My man.
Thanks, Shefty.
Adam Schefter joining us there.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.